This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, a magnificent day. It's been great top to bottom, and we have an incredible show for you tonight. We're going to talk about Ketanji Brown Jackson. Someone wants to know, how'd she pass the bar? There's no way. She's too much of a moron. Someone wants to know, how do the communists get away with these huge lies when they're so easily verifiable? We even have history questions. Were coal miners excellent soldiers in World War II? The FBI whistleblowers, the NGOs, is middle America souring on Trump? There are so many great stories, top to bottom. And I am excited to be here on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And if you're not...
Shut up.
So before we get to any of the questions, and I'm going to get to those very shortly here, I wanted to address two things that have been swirling around for a couple days. One just happened today. The other one was a couple days ago. First thing is Mitch McConnell fell today. It's on video. I despise Mitch McConnell, but I didn't laugh. I didn't cheer. I'm not at all happy. I treasure older people, not him necessarily, but I treasure older people. I think they're so valuable to any society. And when they fall and hurt themselves, I think it is sad. I said this on the radio when Hillary Clinton was falling all the time. All the time. She's falling down. I thought it was incredibly sad. And I hate Hillary Clinton. I thought it was terrible. So I'm not celebrating it. I'm not happy about it. It's terrible. But I will say something I've said before. I said it many times when Joe Biden was president. I understand that power, fame, and money that they're addicting. I guess I understand it. I don't have that, whatever that is. Why doesn't he just go away? I don't understand why you wouldn't just retire, go with your wife to do a tour of America, do a Civil War tour, go to the beach somewhere. Maybe you're an international traveler type. Go to Greece. I want to see Greece one day. Go to Greece. Go do whatever you want. But very clearly, just like Joe Biden, very clearly, we're on the back nine here. I don't want to put a date on it, and I certainly don't want to act like I'm cheering for it, but he doesn't have 20 years left on this earth. You know that. I know that. Go away. Why don't these people ever go away? None of them do. Remember Feinstein? Remember Dianne Feinstein? She's falling down. She's having surgeries. She's got one eye falling out. They're wheeling her in there, and she won't just retire and go away. You made your millions. Most of it you blood sucked off the American taxpayer. At least go spend my money appropriately. Don't die and hand it down to someone else. I don't understand it. I'll never get it. And you see, it's not just in politics. You see this in my world, in the media pundit world. People who've made all the money in the world and you've done it forever, go away. Why do you want to keep doing? Why do you want to keep working at all in any field? I have a buddy whose dad was in oil. He had kind of a cool upbringing. His dad was a big shot with one of the major oil companies. I guess I can just say it, Exxon. It doesn't matter. His dad was a big shot with Exxon. And my buddy grew up all over the place because they were always traveling for oil. His dad makes all this money. his dad retires and lasts like 6 months, and he goes back and works till he dies. I don't understand, man. Go do something. Go, but maybe you want to stay busy. Do some mission work. What, Chris? What? That's probably it. Jewish producer Chris said they have no hobbies. They have nothing else. I just don't understand. You know what I would do? You want to know what I might do one day? If I have the money and time? Ob and I have discussed this before. I enjoy sporting events. I've always enjoyed them. We're going to travel around. If we have the money, we can do it. And we're going to go to big sporting events whenever we have them. Oh, baseball playoffs are on. We're going to fly somewhere and go to. I've never seen Wrigley Field. I'm going to go see Wrigley Field. We're going to fly and see the college football national championship. Let's go to the Olympics. Isn't that the kind of thing you do when you're retired if you can do it? Instead, you spend your final years falling on camera, shaky. You can't talk. I don't understand it at all. That's one. Two, let me touch on something briefly because we got a bunch of emails of people asking my opinion on it. Politico is a disgusting, wretched communist rag and has been for a long time. They have hated me forever and I have hated them forever. They hated me back when I was running for office. The hatred is mutual. A disgusting company. So they ran some hit piece a couple days ago where some Republicans, some dudes, someone leaked their group texts or group chats or something there. And then they're talking about Hitler and all the stupid offensive things that young men say to each other when they think they're just in private. Okay, I got all that. And of course, the whole monitor right has spent the last 2 days, I condemn it. I stand against it. And people want to know, what are my thoughts on it? So let me explain it this way. I'm going to explain it this way. Let me get the headline out of the way first. I have never and I will never take part in communist operations against my side. Let me clarify that again for the next time something like this comes up. I have never and will never take part in communist operations against my side. And here's what I mean. Let's say it's World War II. Let's say I am FDR. I'm the president. Douglas MacArthur, one of my high-ranking generals, comes into my office and he says, hey, Mr. President, we got word that some Marines in the Philippines are committing war crimes. They're killing civilians. They're torturing people. It's really, really bad. Okay, well, that's from somebody on my side. Now, I'm going to look into it. Now, I'm going to care and I'm digging into it. Okay? But what if, knock on the door, and it's the Japanese ambassador, the people who are murdering and torturing my people, my mortal enemy. What if he walks in and says, hey, Mr. President, we just got word some Marines on the Philippines are torturing and murdering people. Well, he hates me. He's working day and night trying to defeat me. So if he's bringing me that information, I'm not talking about the accuracy of it. I'm not talking... If he is bringing me that information, he, my mortal enemy, is bringing me that information because he wants me to act on it in a way that will aid his cause. That's why he's bringing it to me. He doesn't have my best interests at heart. He has my worst interests at heart. And I, as president, have to know that when my mortal enemy walks in and gives me some juicy details about some people who are doing or saying bad things on my side, I have to know why he's bringing me that information. Politico would light your entire country on fire and burn it down while turning your son gay and celebrate the entire freaking thing. They would let in every single illegal to murder and rape your grandmother as fast as they possibly could. Politico has worked against everything you care about for as long as Politico has been Politico. So whatever it is they're printing, it's not with your best interest at heart. It's not with my best interest at heart. If the New York Times printed something terrible about Buck Sexton. Buck's like the nicest guy in the world, so no one would ever do that. But the New York Times printed something horrible about Buck Sexton. Horrible. I would not participate. I'm not going to discuss it. I'm not going to condemn him. I'm not going to do any of that because the New York Times is my mortal enemy and they're only doing it with my worst interest at heart. You do what you want. Condemn what you want. Talk about what you want. I don't tell you what to talk about. You know better to tell me what to talk about. I'm telling you my rule. It has always been and will always be my rule. I don't care what information it is. I don't care what the text messages say. I don't care. None of that stuff matters to me. I do not participate in communist ops against my side. Not now, not ever. Doesn't happen on this show and will not happen on this show. Savvy? Now, for everyone else.
Shut up.
Sorry, what, Chris? I can't help it. It's new to the soundboard. I'm excited about it, all right? I'm also excited. We'll talk about Ketanji Brown Jackson, that moron who embarrassed herself in the Supreme Court yesterday. Before we talk about her, I want to talk to you about testosterone. When you bring up this subject, people get uncomfortable because they don't fully understand it. But Jesse, I don't want to talk about making babies. That's not what we're talking about. Men have to have testosterone, not just for their body, for your mind. Your mind has to have it. Did you know that logical thinking is tied to testosterone? Did you know that? Which anybody who's ever argued with their wife will testify to that. No, quit, Chris. What? It's just, quit laughing, Chris. Seriously. You need testosterone for energy, for your mood. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk will give it to you. And it gives it to you so fast, you don't have to bank on, oh, I hope it's working. You're going to feel so good so soon. Chalk.com, C-H-O-Q, Chalk.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday. One final word on that Politico hit piece, but this is exactly the kind of low-T GOP stuff I'm talking about. A communist rag named Politico gets some text messages, some group things, I don't even know, leaked to them that make us look bad. They, of course, publish it because what do they want? They want the hall monitor right to start attacking our own side instead of talking about Jay Jones wishing kids get shot in the head. That's exactly what the communists want. They want the hall monitor right to start scolding you every single day. And of course, we have people like Senator Mark Wayne Mullen from Oklahoma. He takes something from communist Politico and goes and sits down on communist CNN and spends time doing, oh, I don't know, exactly what the communists wanted him to do.
Zero room for this kind of behavior in politics as a whole, regardless of Republican or Democrat. But we hold our own accountable inside the Republican Party. We won't allow that to happen.
The vice president said essentially that these were kids making jokes and they shouldn't be canceled for it. Do you think that that's right?
Well, I didn't hear what the president's remarks is.
The vice president.
Vice president's remarks, but I would never let my kids joke like that. That's zero. There's a solid no.
Congratulations. Not to him, but congratulations to Politico. You put out that piece. What you wanted was the right to stop focusing on how demonic Democrats are and to spend 2-3 days hall monitoring, lecturing our own side, and mission accomplished. Guys like Mark Wayne Mullen were more than happy to do exactly what you wanted done. I don't do that. Let's move on to the questions. Jesse, there's no way in holy heck Jackson, he's talking about Ketanji Brown Jackson, passed the bar in the typical fashion. How is it possible to pass the bar without really passing the bar? Okay, so this isn't necessarily going to be about her specifically, but we'll make it about her specifically. Credentials. Who hands out credentials? Your doctor. That degree, it's no doubt hanging up in his office. How'd he get it? Well, he had to go to a medical university, right? You had to go to medical school. And a medical school handed him that degree after he passed all the tests, after he proved himself worthy. So what ideally, what does that mean about the medical school? What does it mean? Well, they're gatekeepers. That's what it means. They are gatekeepers. If you want to be a doctor and you are really good and prove yourself worthy, they will beep. That's the sound it makes. They open up the gates and say you can come be a doctor. What if you're not qualified? That's the sound of the gate not opening. The gate will not open. You are not allowed in. It's an institution. Now, we've discussed this before. If you are a communist, communism in America is against everything. Everything this country is founded on, everything we want it to be. And they could never get a foothold in this country because our institutions would gatekeep them. Not just medical schools, our churches would speak loudly about it and gatekeep them. Our law enforcement, local, state, federal, would gatekeep them out. You are kept out. You are not allowed this. You are not allowed that. It proved a great barrier against communism. So what do you do? They came up with a new strategy. Antonio Gramsci, Italian communist, was famous for this. He gets a lot of credit for it. The new strategy was if the institution, if they're keeping the gate closed on us, take over the institution. If that institution, the people with their finger on the button of the gate, they can keep it closed or they can keep it open. If they're keeping it closed on you, then find a way to get your finger on the button. How does Ketanji Brown Jackson, a complete and utter moron, not only pass the bar, she rises to, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I would assume Supreme Court justice is the pinnacle of the law profession? Chris, Corey? Well, I should probably ask Chris mainly. Chris, do you agree? See, even Jewish producer Chris says so. That's the pinnacle of the law profession. A moron has reached the mountaintop of law. How is that humanly possible? Well, you may think there are still gates. Bar exam, university. That you think there are still gates that are closed to morons. But that is because you don't fully understand. All the gatekeepers have been replaced by committed communists who are dedicated to taking these morons, as long as they're loyal communist morons, bringing them through the gate and helping them achieve the highest levels of power. It goes way beyond the Supreme Court. This is everywhere in our society. A society completely full of credentialed morons. My wife went to the DMV the other day. She had to get something done with her license. There was some 80-some-year-old man in there who couldn't see. He couldn't pass the basic eye exam they give you. And the lady at the DMV kept coaching him and coaching him and coaching him. And Ob's sitting there waiting. She watched for 10 minutes as the lady finally coached this old man who can't see into giving the appropriate answers. Now he has a driver's license out there on the highway driving by your kids. That's what happened to your country. The gatekeepers were taken over. And now that's why we are where we are. Make sense? Let's talk about big communist lies. They just humiliate themselves. Why? Doesn't that work against them? Before we do that, here's another lie. It takes too long to find a good employee. Jesse, I need someone for November, for Thanksgiving and Christmas season, and I don't have time. That is a lie. Because of ZipRecruiter, you do have time. You are not months away from finding that next choice employee, whether that's seasonal or somebody permanent who's going to help your company grow. You are not months away. It might be tomorrow. 4 out of 5 employers, when they sign up, and you get to try it for free, ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. When they sign up, they find somebody good the first day. 4 out of 5. ZipRecruiter uses technology not to drop 10,000 applications in your lap, to find the best and hand them to you immediately. Snapping your fingers. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. That person you need is right there. Go get it. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday, because I'm getting dragged out of here by the suits tomorrow. You can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's do a little reminder on what we're up against before we get back to the questions. New Jersey and Virginia, they're both about to have elections. It's big. They're both really big because we have a chance to win both of these elections. We do. I am glad it seems like the right is waking up. Instead of being the once every 4 year party, we are waking up to the importance of local and state elections. They matter a lot. They matter a lot. And I want to encourage you again, go to your state's Secretary of State website, whatever state you're listening to me from. Your Secretary of State has an internet website. Go to it and find out when the next election is for your area. It might be next week. You know that? Well, no, it's not November. No, they happen all the time. Find out who's running. Get involved. Otherwise, these people, they educate your kids.
Look, I believe that parents have the right to oversee their children's education. I would push in LGBTQ education into our schools. Parents have a right to opt out of a lot of things, but this is not an area where they should be opting out, because this is an area of understanding the background of people throughout our nation. And right now we see, for example, at
All
the
right.
Naval Academy,
Steve Sweeney.
An erasure of history.
Steve Sweeney.
Look, you can opt out of a lot of things, but not the gay classes. No. We're going to take Aiden, Jaden, and Braden, and we're going to practically strap them in the chair, and we're going to make sure they learn how to be gay. The cost of not being involved in your local elections is the worst people on the planet educating your children. That's the cost. Remember that. Jesse, communist lies often don't make any sense. In fact, their points are often so preposterous as to be indefensible, yet the lie is thrown out there to see if it sticks. How do we battle this? So on and so forth. Okay, so there's something here, a couple things. First, how much do you know about cults? Learn anything about cults? You want to know a very, very, very common practice for cults? You have to do something humiliating. And this can take so many different forms. I can think of so many cults where families join and you have to essentially give your daughter over to the leader of the cult. You have to do something. Maybe it's a ghost stand in the middle of town square, naked, covered in tapioca pudding. Something bizarre, something that doesn't make sense, something that, why would they ask you to do that? That's humiliating. People wouldn't want to, and they'll leave the cult, right? Wrong. People want to feel included. All people, all human beings are like this. It is how we are created. We want to feel like we are part of something greater than ourselves. We want to be included. And so if you get an evil organization, not a good organization, there are evil ones and there are wonderful ones. If you get an evil organization, like communists, the Democrat Party, they will oftentimes tell you, not only tell you huge, verifiable lies to your face, they will practically demand you repeat those lies. Why? Once you do that, once you cover yourself in tapioca pudding, once you give your daughter over to the cult leader, you have so debased yourself, stripped yourself of anything just to be included in the group, now you feel like you can't leave. That's the psychological effect it has. Now, look, you already, you did your initiation rites. You got through it. Now you can't ever leave. It's a way to lock people in. Tell people, demand, look at your Democrat base and demand, tell them the sky is green. And they'll look up and they'll see that it's blue. Everyone knows it's blue. Everyone with two eyes, maybe Stevie Wonder doesn't know, but everyone else with two eyes knows it's blue because I'm looking at it right now. In fact, I'm looking out the window as we speak and I can see that it's blue. The sky is blue. No, say it's green. I said the sky is green. Say it. Say it. If I can get you to say that, you know what it does? It gives me so much power over you. If I can get you to say ridiculous, humiliating, evil things, if I can get you to repeat those things, I own you. I own you. They tell huge, easily verifiable lies because it is a way to lock in their base, to lock their followers in, and never let them go. You want to know one of the most common things I hear is from former communists who email the show, and I am grateful that we have so many because they help me more understand these people and how they think. You want to know one of the most common things I hear is how embarrassed they are at how they used to act and how they used to think. Chris is nodding his head because he gets all the emails before I do. It is 100% of the time, Jesse, I'm so embarrassed. Jesse, I was so stupid. Jesse, I can't believe I said this. Jesse, I used to think this. I don't know why I said this. They look back at their former selves believing this ridiculous crap, and they think to themselves, oh, that was so humiliating. Very, very common in cult circles. Communists have always done this. And plus, what better way for you to prove yourself loyal? I'm not asking a lot. Just tell me. Tell me I can turn your son into a girl if I chop his penis off. That's very simple. Why do you think so many women have been involved in the child tranny stuff? Mothers. We've played them for you before. How much audio have we played for you before of mothers not just mutilating their children, bragging about it publicly, bragging about it, loudly bragging about it? Yeah, oh yeah, Chris, yeah, both my kids are trans. What's that one, that short-haired ginger from Sex in the City? She's starring that show. I don't know, Cynthia Nixon, that's her name. Her teeth are all black now. She's a communist. She campaigns in New York all the time, standing up, giving a speech. Every kid I know is trans. My kid is trans. My daughter's trans. Why? Is it just that they're evil demons who mutilate their children on purpose? That's, of course, part of it. Man alive, how much better can you prove your loyalty to the communist cause than by treating your own daughter like Mr. Potato Head. It proves that, look, what can't I get you to do if you'll take that precious child you're supposed to love and nurture and you'll carve them up like a Thanksgiving turkey and then publicly brag about it? What can't I get you to do? I own you. You are mine. If I told you to crawl across a mile of broken glass naked, you would do it. I own you completely. It's very, very evil. It's very demonic, but it happens. And you can do that when you have no moral framework. We talk about this a lot. When there's no moral values, when you have nothing against abusing people because everything's just in search of money and power, when people are just things to you, just objects, you're just the cog in the wheel. Either you help me or don't help me. When that's what people become, then you can abuse them without end. Without end. And it's like I've said many times before, I despise all communists, but street communists, I actually have some level of sympathy for because they are broken, abused cult members. The people I have a real hate on for are the media and the politicians. Those are the ones who know they're lying, know they're abusing these people, and still they march on. It's really sick. All right, Jesse, let's switch gears here. I read that coal miners and farmers made good soldiers in World War II. Rarely complained about conditions, stuff like that. Is that a myth? Let's talk about that next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday, churning through all the questions, the news of the day, the ins, the outs. You know how things go. So we're taking a break from politics for just a minute because some guy asked about coal miners and farmers that he read they made good soldiers in World War II. All right. Stop for a second. It's not just World War II. Historically, what does it mean to be a soldier to go fight? Well, for one, you're going to be outdoors most of the time. You are going to be outdoors. Now, I grew up that way. We were always, like I said, my dad was a hunter. I'm going hunting from my earliest days, camping. I was the one getting dragged out of bed at 4 a.m. in the snow to go elk hunt in the mountains. We rode horseback into the mountains and camped for days. So when I got to the Marine Corps, and when we go out on field ops or Iraq or whatnot, it's not as if, by the way, I'm loving it. I'm in heaven. This is great. This is so much better than a bed. It's not that, but it's no big deal. Nothing I wasn't used to before. Slept under the stars many a night. I was in with a lot of guys, especially city guys, guys who grew up more urban. And it's not that I was any better than they were at all, but it was much more of a struggle for them. It was much more of an adjustment for them. Oh, man, the ground is hard. Oh, you mean there are bugs? Oh, crap. It's something you either grow up getting used to or not. Now, specifically about World War II or so many wars, it's wild when you read books about it because, you know, I'm a World War II freak like every other male over the age of 40. I have all these books about it. I've read it over and over and over again. In fact, I was reading one, The Raiders. It was about the Raiders. It wasn't Carlson's Raiders. Gosh, I forget. I mean, it's going to drive me crazy. Whatever. There are a bunch of books about it. It was about the Marine Raiders in the Pacific. They were essentially Marine, you know, special operations in the Pacific fighting against the Japanese. And he was going over all the training they were doing and the background of the guys as they were going through this training. And I swear it was every frigging one of them. He worked construction. He was an outdoorsman. He was an athlete. He worked construction. He was an outdoorsman. He was an athlete. He was a coal miner. He was an outdoorsman. He was an athlete. They were all physical. in some way. They weren't all fighters, but some were. They weren't all athletes, some were. They weren't all farmers, but some were. But these are the basics that you don't have to learn when you get there. Now, this is not in any way to discourage you. If you're a city boy and you're thinking about it, it's not to discourage you at all. You can and will learn just by doing it. You don't learn any other way. But if you already have that leg up, it is such a benefit to you. I brought up athletics. Marine Corps boot camp. You know, now, I told you I played baseball and basketball most of my life, so I'm not unfamiliar with running and push-ups and things like that, but I was crappy. I was a sorry athlete. Sorry, I only played because my dad wanted me to play. It's the only reason I played. One of my buddies, he was an amazing wrestler. He played soccer, and when he wasn't playing soccer, he wrestled. Boot camp was so much easier for him than it was for me. Hey, we're going to go run 6 miles today. I'm sitting there thinking, excuse me? All at once? Are we going to, can we stop every mile for a break? 6 miles? And we're doing exercise at 6 miles? You know how many times my buddy, the wrestler, soccer player, had run 6 miles in his life? Pfft, nothing. Now, I got through boot camp same way he got through boot camp, but it was easier for him. I remember a story. We'll move on, get back to talking about whistleblowers and NGOs and things like that. But I remember I read a story not many years back, a story that older people will be probably a little shocked by. Younger people will be more understanding of. But when we were in, we threw grenades. You were going to throw grenades at some point in time if you went to combat. So during training, you would throw grenades. Specifically, after boot camp, we had to go to infantry training, and they're teaching you how to pull the pin. No, you don't do it with your teeth, by the way. They would teach you how to pull the pin and throw a grenade. Well, it's not exactly rocket science. I played basketball forever, played baseball forever, played a million hours of football, at least at recess, with my buddies. It's not hard to throw a grenade. You cock your arm back, throw the freaking grenade. The Army was complaining that the newer kids they were getting, most of them had no sports background, and they had to be taught how to throw a grenade. This is not making fun of them, because you have your own background, your own generation. This is not to mock them, but remember this about things like sports or work in construction or hunting or fishing. All of these things are not only beneficial for society, it's beneficial for a society to have legions of young men who are already primed and ready to become soldiers or cops or firemen or defenders in some way, should they be needed to do so. Otherwise, you have to waste precious time you don't have in boot camp, teaching him how to throw because he never played a day of baseball in his life. It's different. It's just different. You know, those guys, because there's so many of these studs who are in today. They're listening. Many of them are listening to the sound of my voice right now. Guys that, you know, Marine Corps infantry, Army Rangers, the SF types, the infantry guys, almost universally, those were physical people in school. Didn't necessarily have to be athletics, but most of them were athletes. Not great ones, but you played sports. Outdoorsmen are everywhere. Oh, I grew up in Tennessee shooting squirrels. Yep, he's going to be a ranger one day. He's not going to freak out when a mosquito bites him. It is what it is. You want a society of physical men. It's all benefit to be physical in some way. Now, look, I have 2 sons. One is extremely physical. The other is not. He doesn't want to do that. But we make him. And he has been taught over and over again, you need to do physical activity, even if you think it's boring. Always, always have your body moving. Be physical, because it helps you with everything in life. All right, let's talk about the whistleblowers. I don't have great things to say. Let's talk about Relief Factor, because that's great at least. Would you like to be as physical as you used to be, but you don't because it hurts? What have you given up because it hurts too much now? Because your hands hurt when you do it. You're going to hurt your back. What have you given up? There's something. Why don't you let Relief Factor give it back to you? Relief Factor is a gift to yourself. The daily pains, the aches, the chronic pain does not have to be permanent. It doesn't. Your body is inflamed. Your body needs help. Your body's trying to fight that inflammation. It needs some support. Help is on the way. It's called Relief Factor. They are so confident it works, it's bordering on cocky. They sell 3 weeks of it for $19.95. Doesn't work? Don't call them back. They'll leave you alone. ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. You are not stuck with pain. We'll talk about whistleblowers and NGOs next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
About something about a comedic tone.
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.